No, not one. No, not one. Lord Jesus, only you, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, our friend, only you. We honor you today. We praise you today for all that you've done for us, that we might have life. We know you know our struggles. We know you know how to help us. So we turn to you today for our needs. Thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Nice, Brother Henry. Would you say thank you to Brother Henry? Brother Henry, that's all right. You have to put up with a lot of things, my friend. Good to see all of you this morning. I'm Pastor Mike. Welcome this morning on Labor Day weekend. We're glad that you could join us. Those of you who are joining us online, may the Lord bless you. We're always good to have you. Thank you for letting us know that you're listening and viewing our times together. Psalm number 6 is where I'd like for you to turn today. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 42, and I remind you we gave you these bookmarks because this will give you an idea of what I'll be talking about over the weeks to come, Lord willing, as we think about Christians and their despair. You might be surprised by that. Christians and discouragement. Christians and their anxiety and their depression. These are all very real things. As a result of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have hope and we can have help from the Lord in our despair, but despair is a very real emotional condition in the lives of Christians around the world. And a few weeks ago, I mentioned to you just the amazing, astounding numbers of young people and all generations, actually, that struggle with these things. As your pastor, I feel like it's important for us to have some tools that we can use to help us, as I'm describing, have hope in God in despair. Psalm number 6 is where we'll be going today. And we're reading a prayer for mercy in times of trouble by a psalm of David. Psalm number 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am pining away. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are dismayed, and my soul is greatly dismayed. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, rescue my soul, save me because of your loving kindness. For there is no mention of you in death and Sheol. Who will give you thanks? I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Depart from me, all you who do iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives my prayer. All my enemies will be ashamed and greatly dismayed. They shall turn back and they will suddenly be ashamed. Now, Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our focal truth is this today, that for all, remember, this is a Psalm of David, a man after God's own heart. And yet a man after God's own heart he's speaking to God in ways that describe his deep, painful despair. You're not alone if you're a Christian here today and you have discouragement or despair in your life. That's why I take you to the Psalms. The Psalms, our prayer book, the place we can go when we don't know how to pray. We can actually pray these words to God, and I recommend that to you in your own personal life. You see, as we have hope in despair, it comes when we remember that God hears your prayers in despair. He hears your prayers in despair and he cares for you. What is one of the great ways to know that God cares about you? He hears you. He listens to you. He pays attention to what you're going through. He knows the struggles that you are experiencing. Despair presses the soul to cry out to God. Pressures from the outside and troubles with, these are enemies David has, they're unidentified, but circumstances, worries, cares, troubles, they push in on our soul, on our life. They push in on the inside and cause us to have all kinds of terrible, hard emotions. And they rob us of joy and victory in Jesus. But prayer in despair, my friends, brings hopefulness in despair. So we talk about praying when we're down. We talk about praying today when we're troubled. We talk about praying today when we're worried, when we're discouraged. This is the lesson of Psalm 6. There are four observations that I want us to look at briefly together, and I will just work our way through Psalm 6, and I hope you'll keep your Bible open. There will be one other place I want you to turn in your Bible today as we look at these things together. First of all, we see a prayer in despair. Secondly, we see David's a prayer for recovery or salvation from despair, deliverance from despair. Now, then we'll discover as we read this together a confession of despair in despair. And finally, here comes hope rising again. Here comes hope out of a lot of dark, hard feelings and emotions of despair. There rises a prayerful confession of hope and despair. That was the focal truth. Remember, God hears your prayers. Here it is, verse 8 and verse 9. Here are the hopeful words for today. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord receives, and this word means to hold on to receive. The Lord receives or accepts my prayer of despair. Well, let's get to it and look at it for a moment. Number one, a prayer in despair. You see, there's sometimes bad thinking around praying. We have the idea, well, we only pray when things are good. We only pray when we've gotten out of our trouble. We don't always think about the very important principle of praying in our trouble, praying in our despair. Somehow we get the idea that we've got to work our way out of it. That's that independence, that's that self-reliance, that we, well, I've got to work myself out of this. And as we try to work ourselves out of our troubles and difficulties, most of the time we go deeper into trouble. That's why prayer is so vital to the Christian life. Look, it is the practice that helps you kill dependence upon yourself. Did you hear me? When you pray, when you speak to God, you're declaring, I can't do anything about this on my own. Prayer is that practice that kills self-confidence, self-reliance, self-assurance. Prayer is that act of submission and humility. And here David teaches us all about praying. Praying in despair. Did you see it here? In verse 1, O Lord. I don't know how David expressed it when he prayed it. I don't know if he shouted, O Lord. I don't know if he was barely able to speak the words, O Lord, in the depths of his sorrow. O Lord. Do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chastise me or chasten me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, verse 2, O Lord, he says it again. And then he says in verse 3, but but you, O Lord, how long? He says to the Lord in verse 2, heal me, O Lord. And then finally in verse 4, return, O Lord. When we pray in despair, sometimes the only words we can say are, O Lord. And I'm not alone in this room. I've prayed that many times. In my seasons and times of despair, so have you. O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, we cry. O Lord, we cry. In the middle of the night, all day long, in our heart and our mind, we pray. O Lord, we unceasingly say, O Lord. There is a prayer cry in despair for mercy. Did you see it? Verse 1. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your wrath. It's a cry for mercy. O Lord. When you say, O Lord, you're calling for mercy. It is a prayer cry of despair for grace. Verse 2. Be gracious to me, O Lord. Not a one of us in this room has only asked God for grace one time. We go to the throne of grace that we can find mercy and help in time of need. We speak with Jesus, our high priest, and we say to him, O Lord, we pray and ask for mercy. We pray, O Lord, and we ask for grace. We pray, O Lord, and we ask for healing. He says, be gracious to me, O Lord. And then he says, heal me, O Lord. These are the words of a man who needs the help of God. These are the words of a man who had everything he needed. He was a king. He had all the resources you can imagine. But he says, heal me, O Lord. And then he says somewhat of something of a surprise. It's hyphenated in your Bibles, but you, O Lord, it's an interruption, but you, O Lord, and then he breaks out with a cry for understanding. How long? How long? O Lord, how long? I know as I express those words, you have prayed those very words to God. No one else may have heard you say them, but you have said to the Lord in all kinds of circumstances and difficulties in your life, but you, O Lord, how long? How long will this be? How long will this take? It's a cry for understanding. Help me understand what I'm going through, why I have to go through it, and what is your purpose in this? Help me understand. It's also a cry for how long? How long? How much time will this take? How much time will I be in this circumstance? You, O Lord, how long? How long? These words remind us, my friends, of all of the pressure that comes from despair in our lives. It's a very real thing. It cannot be dismissed. I've said this to you 2 weeks ago. I say it to you again. The last thing that those who are going through despair need from fellow Christians is, well, just move on. Just pull up your bootstraps. Be a full-grown man or woman. Grow up. Deal with it. No. We need to recognize that people's despair is very real. And despair has a way of paralyzing and immobilizing us. This is a prayer in despair. O Lord, but then notice it's a prayer calling for God to recover from despair. Notice this. He says, return, O Lord, rescue my soul, save me because of your loving kindness. What is it that he needs to be saved from? Well, he needs to be, verse 1, saved from God's anger and wrath. He needs to be saved from pining away. I read from the New American Standard. You may have other translations, but pining away. What does pine? We don't say that much in our language today in America. Pining away, it means to wither away. Life's vitality, joy, energy, strength, vision, enthusiasm about tomorrow and hope for tomorrow and strength for today, it just is wasting away. That's the devastating effect of despair. What else does he need to be saved from? Heal me, for my bones are dismayed and my soul is greatly dismayed. Verse 3, dismayed. What does this word mean? When you're in despair, dismay is anxiety. It means to be anxious. My soul is greatly anxious. My soul is greatly nervous, it can be translated. My soul is greatly afraid or fearful. It actually can also be translated, my soul is very hurried. Hurried. You know why we live in such a hurried world? Because so many people are worried in the world. Worry leads to hurry, flurry, busyness. I'll just be busier. I'll work harder. I'll fill my schedule with more things, and then I won't have to face the pain and darkness and the downcast spirit of despair. But it comes back, doesn't it? When all the activities are done, there you are again in your despair. So it's a prayer for salvation. Save me, deliver me, rescue my soul. Notice, because of your loving kindness. This is a wonderful Hebrew word, loving kindness. It's translated in New American Standard. It is made up of two wonderful truths. God loves us and God is kind to us. And God is lovingly kind to us and kindly loving to us. This is the way God deals with us. He deals with us lovingly and kindly. That ought to be a lesson also for the church. That ought to be a lesson for Christians in this room. We deal with people regardless of who they are, whatever shape they're in their lives, whatever their values may be, as people who demonstrate loving kindness to all people. We respect them, we love them, we honor them, we love them, and we are kind in the name of Jesus. He calls for God to save him out of his despair. He cries for God's love. He cries for the God of love to come and rescue him. Is that not the heart of the gospel, my friends? Is that not at the center of what the gospel is? When the Lord Jesus said and died for our sins, he said, Lord, if this cup has to pass through my hands and I have to drink it, it's your will, not mine. And he did it so that we might be saved. In his grief and in his sorrow and in his despair, he knew that what it would take for him to be the Savior of the world. And so he says, return, O Lord, and rescue me. It's a beautiful phrase in verse 4. It's the cry in despair, and here's what it is. Lord, look at me. Lord, turn and pay attention to me. Have you ever noticed with little children, sometimes we're busy on our phones, we're busy doing things around the house. But if they want to get your attention, they have a way of getting your attention. They won't stop. They won't stop until you pay attention to them. This is a cry, Lord, pay attention to me. I'm in despair. I'm pining away. I'm troubled. I'm struggling in my life. I don't know what to do. And this prayer of recovery from despair also is a confession of what I've described before, despair in despair. I don't want you to come to church to be in despair. I want you to come to church in your despair and know that there's hope from the Lord Jesus for you to have hope in your despair. This is why we talk about this. But look at these words. Some people have the idea, well, I don't need to tell God how I feel. He already knows. But actually, you need to say how you feel to God. This is why prayer and speaking to God about our condition is so important. Notice these words in verse 6. Here is a prayer. Here's a confession of despair in despair. Look at these powerful words. I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief. It has become old because of all my adversaries. Look at the description of this man in his despair. What is the result of despair? What is the result of this pain of being pushed down by our circumstances and by our enemies, and we have anxiety and troubles and nerves and fearfulness? Well, it wearies us. It exhausts us. I went to my favorite place the other day. It's a secret, don't tell anybody. I went to Sonic and I was going to get some ice cream. What a day. I went to Sonic. Well, the young lady brought I won't say what she brought out because Pat's listening and I'd be in trouble. She brought whatever it was to the car. And I said, "Well, how are you doing today?" And she said, "Oh." Should I do it again? "Oh." Have you ever done that? You might have done it before you got in church today. You might have woke up this morning. "Oh." You might do it tonight before you go to bed. "Oh." Sighing. Sighing. The sighs of despair. I am weary with sighing. I'm worn out from a life of sighing. Well, this has happened. Well, that has happened. Sighing. Sighing. The very act of sighing is an expression of despair. I am weary with my sighing. And every night I make my bed swim and dissolve my couch with tears and crying. Sighing and crying. Sighing and crying because there seems to be no relief from your troubles. Despair. My eye has wasted away with grief. Sighing, crying, grieving. Sighing, crying, grieving. These are the descriptions, characteristics of what despair does in and to us in our lives. It has become old because of all my adversaries. David now says, because of the enemy, he has this despair. But notice, he has this grief, this pain, this sighing never seems to end. You know, some of us in this room, the problem with our despair is we practice something that the Lord said we shouldn't practice. We always are worried about tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And as we think about tomorrow, we exaggerate tomorrow. We think about tomorrow not understanding that God is in charge of tomorrow. We forget that He has control of things. We forgot what He has done in the past. Tomorrows to help us with our current situation. But we go from today to tomorrow. What about this? How will this be? What's going to happen here? Tomorrow. But the Lord Jesus said, this is a remedy now. This is a remedy for our despair. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. It's not easy to do, is it? Don't worry about tomorrow. And so in our sighing and in our grief and in our crying, many times it's because perhaps this was David's concern. He was thinking tomorrow about the enemies and the adversaries that seemed to be fine while he was in great grief. But there's something else here I want you to see about this matter of praying and speaking to God in your sorrow and in your despair. I want you to take your Bible for just a moment. We're just about done. In Romans chapter 8. I want you to go to Romans chapter 8. David says here, I am weary with my sighing. Every night I make my bed swim. I dissolve my couch with my tears. My eye has wasted away with grief, and it has become old because of my adversaries. Now we turn to these famous words in Romans chapter 8. I'm convinced that the majority of us in this room have forgotten a very valuable lesson and a great help to us when we pray in despair. Listen, that is, the Holy Spirit of God helps the despairing soul be able to pray. The Holy Spirit of God joins us when we have despair in our lives. Let's read it together. Romans chapter 8, 24. Romans 8, 24. Notice we're talking about hope and despair. For in hope we have been saved. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. You see, hope is looking forward confidently to what God is going to do in the future yet to come, in the unseen. For who hopes for what he has already seen or has received? You don't hope for what you already have. Notice, but if we hope for what we do not see, we haven't seen it, you're in despair. You can't see a way out. You can't see any way God is going to be able to help you. You can't see how what's going on in your life has any purpose or any good. Read now, but if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, with endurance, we wait eagerly for it. That is how Paul describes hope. We're waiting on God confidently in the midst of our despair and our trouble. Why do we need hope if we already have His help? It's when we don't have His help that we rely upon Him and we go to Him in prayer by faith, and hope grows. Now notice verse 26. In the same way, he's making a comparison. Verses 24 and 25 are a comparison now to the work of the Holy Spirit in bringing hope when we're praying about what we can't see or figure out. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. That's why we say, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord. He helps our weakness. That's what the Holy Spirit does. When you pray, the Holy Spirit, who is within you, He helps you as you pray. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Holy Spirit Himself speaks up for us, stands up for us, intercedes with God for us with groanings too deep for words as you cry, oh Lord. How long? The Holy Spirit speaks to God in ways that we cannot understand. And He who searches the hearts, that is God, the Father who searches the hearts, knows what the mind of the Spirit is. God the Father knows what the Holy Spirit is saying on our behalf, because He, that is the Holy Spirit, intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Look, when you're in despair, you're praying with the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps us pray according to the will of God when we're in despair. The Holy Spirit reminds us of the grace and mercy of God's promises when we're praying for the will of God to be done in our trouble. The Holy Spirit leads us to glorify God even in our despair. The Holy Spirit gives us spiritual hope and delight in prayer. And the Holy Spirit prays with us and for us in our despair. The Spirit helps our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should. That's the condition of every believer I'm speaking to. That's the condition in my own life. Despair comes, trouble comes, cares and worries come. We don't know what to say to God. We don't know how to pray. And the Holy Spirit comes at our side. He comes with us, the one who walks with us, who is in us, and He gives us the ability to hope in God even when we're in our darkest despair. Now, we don't know the amount of time that's taken place. Back to Psalm 6 as we finish. We don't know the amount of time between verse 6 and 7 and verse 8. We don't know if these are immediate changes where hope starts to rise, or if it was a long time. But you see, now David has described himself. He's prayed in his despair. He's prayed and asked God to save him from despair. And he's confessed his despair in despair. But now there comes this confident hope, this hope that rises. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. and the Lord receives my prayer. The Lord has heard the voice of my worshiping. Is that what it says? No. The Lord has heard the voice of my testifying. No, it doesn't say that. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. Look, when you're weeping all alone and you think no one knows, the Lord hears you in your pain. He hears you in your cries. He hears you in your despair. You see, despair would say, nobody cares, nobody hears, nobody's with me. But the Word of God says, God hears you. He hears you in your weeping. He hears the voice of your weeping. You know, when you're really desperate before God, you don't care what anybody thinks. You cry to God. You cry to God. You groan to God. You moan to God. You speak to Him because of the deep pain in your life. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. If you hear your little child, grandchild, or your own child crying, you rush to them. You hear the voice of their weeping. The Lord doesn't turn away from you when you weep. The Lord doesn't turn away from you like you're in a pathetic position. He hears the voice of your weeping. He hears our supplication. I'm going a few minutes over, but I want to make my point. You know what it means to supplicate? It means that I bring nothing and I stand before God and say, I'm in a condition that I can't fix on my own, and I supplicate you. I supplicate you for mercy. I supplicate you for grace. I supplicate you for healing. I supplicate you to change my desperate condition. The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. He has heard my supplication. You see, God receives my prayer. He holds on to it. He holds on to it. What is it that the Psalms tell us? The tears of the saints are stored in a bottle. What is it that the Word of God tells us in the book of Revelation? That the prayers of the saints in golden vials are before the throne of God. You see, there's never been a prayer that's been lost. Prayers never lose their power with God. When we trust Him and believe in Him, we learn the importance of trusting in Him in our pain. I asked some men in a Bible study the other day why they love God. Why they love God. Brother Jeff read to us from Psalms about loving God today. And as we finish, I want to read to you from Psalm 116 as we're thinking about God who hears us in our prayers. Let me ask you, if you'd like to turn there, Psalm 116. Now I ask you again, why do you love God? Why do you love God? Well, we would all answer, and it's a good answer. We've learned it from the book of 1 John, because He first loved me. Yes. But beyond that, why do you love God? Why do you love God today? Psalm 116:1. I love the Lord because He hears. I love the Lord because He hears. I love the Lord today. I stand before you as a testimony. I love the Lord because He hears my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined, turned His ear to me. Therefore, I shall call upon Him as long as I live. And when you do that, when you know God hears you, you know what you can say to yourself? You know, we talked about this last time. Psalm 42, why are you in despair, O my soul? Hope in God. But now we notice again, I love the Lord because He hears, and now this man declares to God and to himself, verse 7, return to your rest, O my soul. You see, here's the way you're delivered from despair. You talk to God about your trouble, and you're confident that He listens to you. And by the way, listening to you means that He responds to you. It's not like a parent who says, yeah, I heard that, and goes their way and does whatever they want. No, He hears you implies that He responds to you. He helps you. This is what I wish to happen in my own soul, and I wish it for all of yours. When you're in despair and you finally discover hope, you then say to yourself, not why am I in despair? You say, return to your rest, O my soul. Be at rest. Be at peace. When the disciples were at the greatest point of terror and fear in their lives, the Lord Jesus appeared multiple times after he was risen from the dead. And you know what he said, first of all? Peace be with you. The peace of God. In exchange for the trouble, hurried, anxious fearfulness of despair. Return to your rest, O my soul. Verse 7, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Today, some of you should go home today, and here's a glimmer of hope for you in your despair. You go home and say to yourself, soul, the Lord has dealt, past tense. Think of all the things God has done for you and how he has blessed you, helped you, rescued you, cared for you in the midst of all of your past troubles. For you have rescued my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. What do we remember today? Well, God listens and responds to the prayers of despair. Some of us, oh, I think I've talked to God enough about this. He's not interested in all this I keep bringing up. Keep bringing it up. Keep talking to God in your despair. Keep talking to him about the things you've already talked to him about. When you're in despair, tell God how you feel. Talk to him about your emotions. Talk to him about how you're worn out. Tell him how you're sighing. He already knows, but tell him anyway. Tell him anyway. Speak to him as the one who loves you and cares. Look, if you have a dear, loving friend, you tell them everything about how you feel. How would you not tell God how you feel? The one who sent the Lord Jesus to die for you. Tell him how you feel and then be ready. It might be a glimmer. It might be small. It might be just a little bit, but hope will start to rise. And as hope rises, then you remember the words. You remember the words of Psalm 6. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping and has heard my supplication, and the Lord receives my prayer, which means God will answer my prayer. I have one more verse for you to mark in your Bible. Some of you know these words very well, but some may not. It's found at the very end of the New Testament. It's found in the last chapter of John's little letter, 1 John. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. I cannot end what I'm talking about God hearing our prayers in our despair, without reading this to you or having you look at it with me. 1 John 5, 14 and 15. Now these are words for you now. These are words for you to remember. These are words for you to think about when you're praying in despair. This is the confidence which we have before God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests, plural, which we have asked from him. That's our confidence. Our confidence in coming to the Lord Jesus and in the name of Jesus, making our requests known to him in the midst of our despair. What does the psalmist say, my friends, as we close? Again, what are his confident words of hope? The Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. I hope you can say that in your despair. The Lord has heard my supplication, and the Lord receives my prayer. Here's what it means. I'm not going to be afraid anymore because God has heard my prayer and he will answer. To the praise of the glory of his grace, the Lord is near to the door. And so we pray, come Lord Jesus.